This is the Baltimore Sports Free For All.
So we postponed putting up our show by like a day or so, and I am so glad that we did because, wow, what a game on Tuesday night when we usually post these episodes of the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All against the Baltimore Orioles and the Kansas City Royals. It was, dare I say it, a bloodbath.
And I'm glad that I can actually be back in studio doing this episode with you after the fact that it happened. Because,
well, hey,
wow,
you were hoarse last week, so I had to do the show last week, and I had quite a bit of a juicy headline to take advantage of that week too.
You had a highly rated episode going solo there.
Yeah, maybe I should take this by myself.
That's an indication. Should I just walk out right now?
Yeah, you're holding me back, Josh. You're like an anchor. You're like an anchor making me dragging on my feet here.
I'm an anchor with a bunch of barnacles on the bottom of it. I'm just not doing any good, am I?
I mean, I'm carrying this show right now.
Yeah, you are.
I mean, it did help that, you know, we do a weekly show and review, and, you know, people would pay attention to it. But as soon as, you know, an Oreo player gets hit in the junk, everyone loses their minds.
Yeah, God, you got to feel sorry for Caleb Joseph on that one, though. I mean, he's never going to hear, even when he gets back to 100% health and goes on a 15-game hitting streak, that will be the highlight of his season right there.
Yeah, and he had to have surgery, and you were thinking to yourself for a little bit, well, Caleb, which bathroom do you use?
Yeah, not which bathroom do you use, but which hospital are you going to go to? Because, man, I can't even think of a physician, easy for me to say, that is going to be able to perform that kind of surgery on that guy.
A lot of physicians, right, can perform that surgery.
But none that I know of.
I mean, do you remember when Tom Green had testicular cancer?
Oh, of course. Absolutely.
They actually showed like the shard remains of one of them.
It looked like
some type of like chicken, like school lunch chicken.
Something off Fear Factor.
Yeah, yeah. It was like, here, can you eat this? The Tom Green shredded testicle.
Right. We just took the show into a totally different spectrum here.
It was like, I was thinking to myself today, working with paint thinner and stuff like that, I'm like, wow, how much money would it take for somebody to actually drink this?
Yeah, probably a bunch of money by the pictures that you've shown.
Do not do that, by the way.
No,
we do not endorse in doing bodily harm to yourself by drinking poisons.
No, we do not condone you getting shattered in the man parts. We do not condone drinking paint thinner.
But what we do condone is maybe, possibly, a little bit of retaliation by Manny Machado against one Yordano Ventura.
Absolutely. We have to bring that up first, of course. So on Tuesday, June the 7th, the Orioles were taking on the Kansas City Royals in what was the second game of their three-game series. And not the first at bat, because the first at bat, Yordano Ventura was pitching close to Manny on two separate pitches.
He missed.
Twice, by the ribcage area. And then, of course, Manny pops out to him and was, of course, giving him some lip, letting him know, hey.
Well, he was kind of admiring it a little bit, but it was a flyout, so I'm thinking to myself, that's kind of weird. I read about a Chinese baseball player who would do, like, the most insane bat flips I've ever seen. It makes Jose Bautista just look silly. But his bat flips, he bat flipped on a long fly ball out. It was kind of funny. He just, like, nonchalantly just walked away from it. He's like, yeah, I bat flipped on a fly ball. Big whoop. Want to fight about it?
Yeah.
But, yeah, Manny Machado did want to fight about it because later on in that game, Yordano Ventura finally decides he wants to groove a 99-mile-an-hour fastball into Machado's ribs. Now, Ventura up to this point had 59 pitches. They were all going from 96 to 98 on his fastball. This one was at 99. It was his fastest pitch of the night, so he clearly put a little bit more oomph behind that. According to him, it, quote-unquote, got away from him. Yeah, sure, you're Yordano Ventura. You cleared the benches three consecutive times last year, and now you do it again this year against Manny Machado. And Manny Machado, just he didn't think. He reacted, in his words, and just immediately the limping towards the mound. I mean, you charge the mound, you see him clearly, visibly hurt, but it's just pure rage at this point, because he's like, to hell with my pain, you're going to get socked in the mouth. And that's exactly what happened. He comes out, hits him with a right cross, grabs him, and then DDTs him right to the pitcher's mound. Salvador Perez, the catcher, didn't even make an effort to stop him.
Yeah, when I watched that whole incident go down, the first thought that popped into my mind was, wow, you know, Yordano Ventura, his body language, you could see it in his eyes. He meant to do that.
And seeing Machado charge the mound is like, all right, yeah, I expect that. Bring it on. Bam. Oh, well, crying Jordan faces on you.
Yep, absolutely. And not only is Yordano Ventura looking bad on every video on social media and every picture and meme on social media, but now Manny Machado is hailed as a Baltimore badass.
Yeah.
And not only that, but he's getting admiration from all sides. You saw Chris Davis going out like a track star trying to beat the whole thing. And Adam Jones later on reiterating the fact that, you know what, I got his fine. It's on me.
He's got his fine. So Yordano Ventura's got all this talent, but something's wrong with like a chip or something like that in his brain because something's going on. He doesn't get it. Buck says if anything happens, he's like, bring it on, bring it on. We'll see what happens. And even Buck said after his first at bat, he's like, watch it, Manny. He's coming in on you, and he's going to plunk you. You just got to be careful on that. And even though he was warned, he knew it was premeditated. Yeah, Machado is still just a pain. Because, look, have you ever, like, hit your head so hard on something like that where it just completely just knocks you cold, where you're just, like, so irritated you want to punch something?
Oh, yeah. That's happened before.
Well, that happens to me on pretty much a daily basis whenever I'm, like, considering the fact that I'm an aspiring radio personality and aspiring, you know, Baltimore podcaster and trying to be in production and everything like that, I got to do something on the side to actually make sure that I eat. I paint for a living. So doing that, you know, I'll be, like, underneath the stove or something like that. I'll hit my head on the overhead range, and I'll just, you know, I just don't think at this point. It just reacts. I'm just like, oh, I want to hit something so bad. I usually hit the wall.
Yep.
So it's just... Your pain sensors really start to take over your other senses.
I will say this, though. Manny Machado's tenacity, and this is not to admire fighting in baseball. I don't condone it whatsoever.
Oh, but I love a good tussle.
But I will say this. His tenacity, his punching power to Yordano Ventura, and then his words after the fact would make Muhammad Ali proud. Rest in peace, Muhammad Ali.
You know, it's kind of funny, too, because I hate fighting in other sports. I hate fighting in football because it doesn't make sense. Because
you're wearing helmets.
They're wearing pads. Why would you punch a guy wearing a helmet? But, I mean, hockey, I do like a good brawl once in a while. It was the fact that fighting in hockey made me a hockey fan. Like, I was watching Penguins and Capitals in, like, the mid-90s and I saw the goalie at the time, Jim Carrey, come flying out of the net and clothesline a dude. I was like, yeah, I need to be watching the sports. Mm. And I'm kind of over the fighting a little bit because it just looks like more like Rock'em Sock'em Robots. And basketball, yeah, don't like the fighting in basketball, especially when you see the brawl at the Palace of Auburn Hills or whatever they called it or whatever it was when Ron Artest went into the
stands. Pacers and the Pistons.
Yeah, I know, but there was another name for it. It was the brawl at the Palace at Auburn Hills.
It was something like that. The Malice in the Palace.
That's it. The Malice at the Palace. That's exactly what we're calling that right now. Because, I mean, you know, Ali, you mentioned Ali. He had different names for his fights, like the Rumble in the Jungle and a couple other ones.
The Thriller in Manila.
The Thriller in Manila, yes. There was that one. He had all kinds of names for his fights, and we always got to get these brawls. But for some odd reason, even though I'm not a big fan of fighting in hockey, I'm not a fan of fighting in basketball or football, I love it in baseball because it happens so rarely.
But even though the baseball purists will say it's a dumb move because Manny Machado will get suspended a couple games and it'll hurt the Baltimore Orioles, you do have to admire the fact at how much the team seems more unified after this incident, more than ever before. Just everybody across the spectrum, Chris Davis, Adam Jones, Buck Showalter, Manny Machado, you know, any of the other assistant coaches for the Orioles, just backing these guys up in general. It makes for a stronger unit down the stretch.
The birds back the birds.
Yep, exactly.
They back each other. And one more thing of note on this Machado and Ventura scuffle.
How many games you think each guy?
Well, Machado's getting the more of the gains because it just seems like the hitter always gets more than the pitcher.
I disagree.
No, because the pitcher gets like, okay, you're suspended 10 games. So what's that, two starts? So
three starts probably maximum.
So he's technically suspended 2-3 starts probably maximum. Meanwhile, Machado's going to miss maybe 7 to 10 games, and those are actually 7 to 10 games.
I think he'll probably miss 5 games. I think he'll appeal it. He'll get it downgraded to 5.
But keep in mind, though, that despite the fact that, yes, he's got overwhelming support from just about everybody. And I was listening to an interview by Kurt Schilling on Doug Gottlieb's show, and he's definitely not in support of Machado. He's more on the side of Ventura, even though he thought both guys did what they should have done. With Machado, keep in mind, he does have a history. But not as big as a history as Yordano Ventura, because clearly Ventura, he does not have the support of his teammates.
Yeah,
he,
Josh Donaldson circa 2014 with the Oakland Athletics, that incident. Remember that.
Yordano Ventura does not have the support of his teammates. They're looking to ship him out, according to Yahoo Sports. And now, with everything that's going on, Ned Yost didn't really defend him. Salvador Perez did nothing to, you know, prevent Machado from going out there. It's just, with all of that going on, Ventura does not have the backing of his teammates. It reminds me of Jonathan Papelbon last year and Bryce Harper saying, well, because of his antics, I'm probably going to get plunked tomorrow.
Yep. Well, looking back at the last time that you did the Baltimore Sports Free-for-All, I would say we, but it was you the last time.
It was all me.
All you. Wednesday, June the 1st, the Orioles beat the Boston Red Sox 13-9. Brad Brock was your winner, improving to 5-0. Buck Holtz, the loser, at 3-6. Britton collecting his 15th save of the season. Thursday, June the 2nd, Orioles defeated Boston 12-7, splitting the four-game series. Michael Givens was your winner at 4-0. Ross Jr., the loser, at 0-1. Then Friday, June the 3rd, Orioles won 6-5 at Camden Yards. Givens winning his fifth game of the year, improving to 5-0. Betances, the loser, at 2-3. Britton collecting his 16th save of the season. Saturday, June the 4th, Orioles lose a heartbreaking offensive game, 8-6, against the Yankees. Nova, the winner, at 4-3. Tyler Wilson, the loser, at 2-5. Aroldis Chapman getting his ninth save of the season. Now, Sunday, June the 5th, the Orioles won 3-1. McFarland was your winner, improving to 1-1. Betances, the loser, at 2-4. And Britton getting the 17th save of the season. Now, let's look at that series real quick with the New York Yankees. How much did it mean for the Baltimore Orioles to get to their bullpen in two out of three games against Betances and Chapman and Miller?
Well, with that and getting to the bullpen and actually doing a pretty decent job with that.
Because those are three deadly pitchers you don't want to face in any bullpen.
Yeah, it's huge because you're going up against, as we've seen the last couple of playoff series, especially ones that the Orioles have been involved in, the bullpen matters big time. And seeing how they can do against other opposing teams' bullpens, and can they actually shut them down before, you know, they get shut down, it's pretty good to see the Orioles do that, especially against a division foe.
Yep, absolutely. Now, the Orioles started a three-game home series against the Kansas City Royals on Monday, June the 6th. Orioles won 4-1. Mike Wright was your winner, improving at 3-3. Duffy, the loser, at 1-1. Zach Britton collecting his 18th save of the season. On Tuesday, June the 7th, the Orioles win 9-1. Good Ubaldo Jimenez winning 3-6, and Ventura the loser at 4-4, and Ventura was the loser both in the stat sheet and in the physicality.
He took that L big time, and because after that whole brawl with Manny Machado, the Orioles socked back-to-back dingers with Trumbo and Davis. So
exactly.
There was losing that game big time for the Royals, and then we move to Wednesday,
June the 8th, where the Orioles won 4-0. Chris Tillman winning that game, improving to 8-1, and making a solid statement of getting some contract negotiation talk going with Peter Angelos and company.
I mean, with all the starting pitching woes, he's been the one constant.
Yep.
I mean, he had like a little bit of a down year last year, but he's always been the constant. And when you talk about Orioles starting pitching, he's just always been there at the top, you know, every single year. Chris Tillman's the ace. This is what he does. And there's a reason for that, because he tends to be consistent. And that's what Chris Tillman that's his modus operandi.
Yep, and Volquez was the loser at 5-6. Brad Brock collecting the second save of the season in relief. Orioles have a couple more games coming up. They have a four-game road series against the power-hitting Toronto Blue Jays from June the 9th through Sunday, June the 12th. And then, of course, have a day off on Monday and then begin a three-game series against the Boston Red Sox on the road from Tuesday, June 14th through Thursday, June 16th. And I'm sure we'll be reviewing those games as well. Now, looking at how the Orioles did hitting-wise this past week, I guess you could say your offensive player of the game was Francisco Peña, the backup catcher. No, I'm kidding. I mean, he did good, of course. 5-for-11 in three games, one home run, two RBIs, hitting .455. I mean, that's pretty admirable for a backup catcher, wouldn't you say?
Admirable?
Admirable. Admirable.
I would say admirable.
Admirable.
Just like I would say he was the offensive player of the week and not game.
Yep. Exactly. Mark Trumbo is your offensive player of the week, going 10-for-26 in seven games, scoring nine runs, two doubles, five home runs, nine RBIs, .385. There has to be a pessimism growing amongst Oriole fans, though, that can't seem to think that he may possibly come back for another year. What do you think about that? I mean, he's posted some career numbers before the All-Star break.
Well, it could be another Nelson Cruz here.
What about Hyunsoo Kim, though, hitting .304 this past week?
We need to talk about Hyunsoo Kim because he is now got enough at-bats to where he can be in the leaderboard, and because of that, he is high up there in the average, and Hyunsoo Kim finally getting some recognition. Believe it or not, on that Machado brawl, he was the second guy out there, and he was sprinting to that brawl, too.
Yep, another guy that had a solid week, Adam Jones, 4 home runs, 9 RBIs. Now, when we move on to pitching, of course, relief had a solid week this past week. Michael Givens going 2-0, 0-0 ERA. You had Zach Britton collecting 3 saves and 3 scoreless innings. TJ McFarland in 2 games getting a win and 3 scoreless innings. And also, Mike Wright, I guess you could say, was your starting pitcher the week, having 7 scoreless innings and getting 4 strikeouts and 2 walks. It's safe to say that this Orioles team is coming together in this part of the season, and it's a good sign because they do have a tough stretch coming up and an uncertainty with the Manny Machado suspension.
And that's a relief.